All right. Well, we are still in our series on the fruit of the Spirit. You guys enjoying this series on fruit of the Spirit? Are you learning a little bit about, the awesome call that God has on us, the formation that he wants to see take place in our hearts as we press into him to know him through the Holy Spirit? I have just been really encouraged. I think a lot of this stuff is stuff maybe you know about. Like, you've heard of joy, you've heard of love, you've heard of faithfulness before. But I really believe that God wants to take our church, each one of us, the next step in really seeing these fruits come to, like, really be part of who we are, our lives. So the Word of God, I hope you came tonight with a great faith in the Word of God, for what it can do in your life tonight. I hope you came expecting that God would open up a new just anointing, a new strength in your life for who he wants to be in you. So let's pray before we get into the Word tonight. God, you are God, and we are your children, Lord God. And we come tonight just eager to be with you, Lord God. We just know that when we come together and we just declare that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God, when we declare his kingdom, we bow our knees to you, that you come and you're here in our presence, God, and that you call us to yourself, and that you reveal yourself, God. And so we cry out to you, God, not because of who we are, because of your goodness and your righteousness. God, would you come and meet with your church tonight, God? Build us up, Lord God. For each person that's here tonight, God, I pray that you would speak to each one of our hearts tonight, God, something about who you are and what you want to see come in our lives individually, God. You're so good. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so, fruit of the Spirit. I want to remind you, one of the things that we've been emphasizing as we're going through the fruit of the Spirit together is that this list, right, all of these characteristics, all of these fruit are really parts of the character of God. So you look at each one of those words on the list, like love, joy, peace. These are things that that find origin in God and who he is and what he's like. And so, you know, when we get to read this verse, we get to see this truth that when we abide in the Spirit of God, when we abide in the Holy Spirit, and we walk with him on a daily basis, these characteristics of God, they begin to form in our lives. Like, that's such an amazing truth right there. We can stop tonight and just go home. It's like, God, that's crazy. Matt Henderson, a real big loser most of his life. But when God, when you are in me, when your Holy Spirit is in me, I am transformed into someone who can actually love other people, someone who can be filled with joy. So the teachings that I've got to cover for the church have been, we've already done agape love, and we've done kara joy, and tonight we're going to learn about a new characteristic of God, a new fruit that God wants to bring about in our lives. And so you can see it right there. Tonight our fruit is faith, or faithfulness. And so I want to talk a little bit about just this word faithfulness. So the Greek word for when you're reading through there and you get to the end of verse 22, you see faithfulness there. The Greek word for faithfulness is this word pistis, okay? The primary, like if you look at the Strong's, you know, concordance, the primary definition of the word pistis is actually faith, like in the sense of believing something, okay? Think about John 3:16, right? Whosoever believes in him, right, shall not perish but have eternal life. That's the kind of connotation of the word faith there, okay? So when you read the King James Version and you read this section of verses, they translate it as the word faith. Okay? But however, most translations, a lot of the translations, including the ESV, the NIV, the New King James Version, when they come to this word pistis, they actually translate it as faithfulness. So a different word, two different ways of understanding this word, Greek word pistis. One is faith, one is faithfulness. Okay, and so you see here that a secondary translation of the word pistis is faithfulness. And this is faithfulness in the sense of fidelity or loyalty or trustworthiness. Okay. And I think the reason that most commentators, you know, think that the better translation here or the better sense of the word pistis is faithfulness is because of the context of the verse. Okay, so think about what we're talking about here, right? Paul is giving us a list of various things that are the outflow of believing in God and walking with God. You see that? So if you look at that full list, right, love, joy, peace, patience, these are things that kind of like characterize our lives as a result of believing and walking with God, okay? And so I think it makes sense that that the word here, the true meaning here is this idea of faithfulness, right? Faithfulness is a word that really kind of describes the way that we act towards one another, right? It is an outflowing of being connected to God. So, well, let's say this. It's probably really true that faith in the sense of believing in something is also a fruit of the Spirit. But I think for our study tonight, what I want to key in is this idea of faithfulness, which is being faithful to someone else, right? Having fidelity, being trustworthy towards somebody else. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I think this is a very safe interpretation, and here's why. We know that our God is a faithful God, and we know that He wants us to be faithful too, right? Our God is trustworthy. He's loyal. He's true. Think of all the ways that you would describe this characteristic of God. He's dependable, he's stable, he's secure, he's unwavering, he's consistent. A great way to describe this is he is a promise keeper. Our God is a promise keeper. We know this first because the Word of God, the Bible tells us, literally tells us about this about God, but we also know this because we have experienced this with our God, right? When you walk with God, when you know God, you come to find that He is faithful. He is always faithful. God has been faithful to His people throughout history. Okay, so there's a really cool verse in 2 Timothy that describes the faithfulness of God. And it says this, if we are faithless, He remains faithful because He cannot deny Himself. I think this verse teaches us something very important about where God's faithfulness comes from. Where does His faithfulness come from? It's not, God's faithfulness is not a reaction, right, to who we are. God's not faithful because we are faithful to Him or because we are true to Him. He is faithful because, inside of Him, His nature is to be a faithful God. God is always faithful because that's the way that He is, right? In Exodus, He actually describes Himself. God gets a chance in the Bible to describe Himself. You know, this is crazy scene where Moses is up on the mountain, right? So Moses goes up onto the mountain, and God is up on the mountain with him. And there's actually a dialogue between Moses and God up on top of the mountain. And we hear one of the things Moses says is like, God, just tell me, who are you? What are you like? And God responds to Moses. Isn't that crazy? Here's how He responds to Moses. He says, the Lord, or Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding and steadfast love and faithfulness. Goes on to say, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So this is pretty cool. You have an opportunity for God to describe himself to Moses. And you see there that something that's really significant to God about himself is that he wants Moses to know that he is a faithful God. And the sense of this word here, faithfulness, is that he's firm. He's firm. He's reliable. He's stable. And he's continual. Okay? So really, he's telling Moses, like in our words, Moses, you can count on me. You can count on me. I am going to be there for you. You also see, coupled together with the word faithfulness, you see this other phrase called steadfast love. God's telling Moses, I'm going to love you forever, and you can count on it. That will never change. I'm going to love you, and you can count on it. In James, right in the New Testament, we hear James say this about God. God has no variance. There's no variance in God. And this is the coolest phrase. There is not even a shadow of change in God. That's an idea, shadow of change. You should just go somewhere, you know, out in nature and just sit and think about that for a little while. There's not even a shadow of change in God. That is how firm, that is how solid, that is how faithful he is. God is not fickle. God's not flaky. The way that he relates to us doesn't change. His love is always strong. He is consistently righteous. His word is always true. His forgiveness is always available. And his presence is always there waiting for us. And because of this, we can trust him. We can trust our God. In the New Testament, God is described as a rock, isn't he? As a cornerstone. God's character is unmovable. It's unshakable. So the word here for steadfast love is another really important word in the Old Testament. And it's the word hesed. Hesed is a very rich word. And it's hard to define exactly. But it's used 248 times in the Old Testament. About half of those times you find it in the book of Psalms. And it's really describing this steadfast, loving kindness that God wants to pour out on his people all the time. But as you see here, hesed can also be defined as faithfulness. So you could read that description, God saying, I am faithful and I am faithful. God really wants us to know, I am a faithful God. If you read think about the entire story of the Old Testament, right? Think of the story of God and the people of Israel. He comes and he makes this promise to him. He says, hey, I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people and I'm going to love you irregardless. And then you walk through this story, through history, as this people, over and over, they turn away from God. They break his heart. They love the gods that hate Jehovah God. They serve the gods that are enemies of the God who created them and gave this promise of love to them. And in the midst of all of that, like that repetitive turning away, God never forsakes. He never turns one bit from his promise. And he said, I'm going to love my people forever. Such a powerful story. We see this same concept of faithful love in the book of Ruth, actually. So you remember Naomi, she's this Jewish woman, and they move into Moab, and her two sons marry two Moabitess women, right? And So she's there and her sons are there and they've married these two Moabite women and her sons die. And Ruth is like, Naomi is like, I'm going to go back to Israel. And so she looks at these two widows now, Orpah and Ruth, and she says to them, hey, listen, y'all need to just go back to Moab and, you know, find a new life. I bless you. I encourage you in that. And I'm going to go back to Israel. And so Orpah, you read in the story, Orpah actually gives Naomi a kiss, right? And she says, okay, great. And she returns to her people. But there's something crazy that Ruth does here in this scene. She does something very different than Naomi. Let's read this, what she does. She says this, but Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. When we think of faithfulness in the Word of God, it represents this deep relational commitment to others that's like a rock. It's certain, it's secure, it's unchanging, it's a lifetime commitment that never ends. I am gonna love you, I'm gonna be with you. God creates marriage, right? God created the concept of marriage. And marriage is really, I think it helps us understand this heart of faithfulness. It's a sacrament that God created for us to engage in. And when you marry, when you make the marriage covenants with someone else, you're basically saying, listen, I'm going to love you and no other for all of my life, no conditions, until we die. That is faithfulness. I'm going to be faithful to you for my entire life. No matter what happens in our marriage, no matter how you offend me, whether there's sickness, whether, you know, what's the other phrase, or whether we have a lot of money or we don't have a lot of money, I'm going to remain faithful. My love will remain faithful to you and you alone. And so what else do we know about marriage? It's this level of commitment, right? Faithful commitment to another person that serves as the foundation for one of the deepest, most powerful, intimate, most connected relationships that you can have as a person in the earth. And the base of this is this covenant that I'm going to love you forever. I'm going to be faithful to you forever. Well, marriage in itself, right, it points back to the faithful character of God, right? What do we know about in Ephesians, right? You know these verses in Ephesians, right? Marriage is an image of Jesus' love for the church. His unwavering, committed, faithful love for the church. Jesus loves the church and will be faithful to it forever. There's a prophet in the Old Testament named Hosea. And during his life, during Hosea's life, it's one of these times when the people of Israel, they actually started worshiping the Baals and other gods that were surrounding the nation of Israel. And so they're deserting God, worshiping these other gods that the pagan nations around them worship. And so God comes to Hosea during this, and he compares the nation of Israel to an unfaithful woman. He says this, he told Hosea, the land, or really Israel, commits a great whoredom by forsaking me. And then God does this He does this wildly crazy thing. He goes to Hosea and he says, listen, Hosea, there's this lady. Her name is Gomer, and she is a whore. She's an adulteress. I want you to marry her. I want you to take her as your wife. Like a really unholy thing for a Jewish man to do. And she, even after their marriage, continues to walk in adultery, so much so to the degree that she actually becomes a slave, right? She goes back into slavery. And listen to what God says to Hosea. He says this, and this is Hosea, "And the Lord said to me, 'Go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and who is an adulteress. Even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love cakes of raisins.'" I don't know why the cakes of raisins is there, I'll be honest with you. Sounds disgusting. "So I brought her, I bought her for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethich of barley. And I said to her, 'You must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So will I also be to you.'" A crazy story, but I think what this, why God is doing this is that he wants Hosea's life to be just a prophetic example, a prophetic picture, an illustration of the radical faithfulness of God, the radical love that God loves his people with, that does not change, irregardless of what they've done. Even though Israel had abandoned him and loved these other gods, he remained faithful in his love towards them. And so, let's fast forward. Jesus, the Son of God, he displays this very same faithfulness towards us. Even though each one of us, that's you, that's me, everybody in this room, we have all turned away from God, right? And we've loved things other than him. We've worshiped other things. But Jesus has remained faithful to God's promise to show steadfast love towards mankind, towards his creation. You see, God made this decision even before the creation of the world that Jesus was going to come into the earth and he was going to make a way through his love to save us from our sins and bring us back into relationship with God. And so, right, God sends Jesus into the earth to accomplish this mission. And what does Jesus experience in the earth, right? When he comes as a loving sacrifice to bring us back to the Father, we meet him with mockery. He's beaten, he's ridiculed, and he's placed on a cross. Through all of this undeserved rejection and torment, Jesus remains faithful to God's mission, to God's plan, to God's loving faithfulness to us. Never wavering in the love that he has for us, even when we're abusing him. And he upholds God's promise to make a way of salvation for everybody who would believe on him through his death and resurrection. I really want you, this may be the key verse for tonight. In Hebrews 12:2, it says this about Jesus. "Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and then he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Jesus was the perfection. Jesus was the perfect expression of God's faithfulness when he went to the cross for us. Jesus had so many opportunities to flake out, to compromise, to come up with a reason for why he didn't need to go to the cross. But he remained faithful to the end through it all. Can you praise God for that faithfulness? Can you say, God, Jesus, thank you that you were faithful to me. You didn't have to be because of who you are. You were faithful through it all. And I owe everything. We owe everything to that, to Jesus' faithfulness. So why is God faithful? Why is he so consistent in this characteristic? Ultimately, I think the reason God is faithful is because he values relationship. Our God is a God that values relationship. Faithfulness is an irreplaceable ingredient to deep, meaningful, intimate relationship. Okay? I think in our culture, I think to some degree we've lost a vision of how awesome relationship can actually be. I think we don't even really understand God's intention for relationship. I think most of us have settled for something less than real friendship, real covenant relationship like God intended us to walk with one another in. I think what we've done is we've kind of just traded it off for this idea. I love the word, and maybe this might be a British word, but it's just the word pal. Like, when I think of pal, like, I think of somebody that, like, yeah, I'm going to be a friend with, but I don't really expect that they're going to be around for very long. Like, I don't expect them to be faithful to me. I'm just kind of, you know, happy to hang out with this guy or this gal, right? But let me say this. When you are a faithful person, when you are relationally faithful to another person, it creates trust. It creates security. It creates a consistency over time that is the foundation for intimacy and closeness. I think when we look at the Trinity, this is what we really see as one of the ultimate definitions of real good relationship. It is closeness. It is deep connectedness with one another. This is what God desires for you and me. This is what he wants for us. This is what he created us for. And faithfulness is what makes that kind of relationship possible. Would you just for a second think in your heart, is that something that I want? Like, do I want deep relationship? Like, in the list of things that are important to me, how important is deep relationship with other people? I think if you really kind of sort through the desires of your heart, it's the top of the list. There's nothing more valuable than relationship with God and relationship with other people. I think to see how significant relational faithfulness is, all we need to do is look around us, right? Look at our own lack of faithfulness. When we look around at the world, what do we see? Broken promises, flakiness, inconsistency, adultery, abandonment, and compromise. We just are not good at being faithful friends. We're not good at being faithful spouses. We're not good at being faithful employees. We're not good at being faithful parents. We're not good at being faithful children. And I think as a result, it leaves us very cynical. Very cynical about other people and even what our relationships can be, right? We generally do not trust politicians, right? We're not going to go to war. I'm not going to raise your taxes. And then they turn around and go to war and raise our taxes. We have a hard time trusting our spouses. We have a hard time trusting our parents. We have a hard time trusting our friends. And this results in this kind of, to me, it's, and we're seeing it in our generation, right? This fragmented existence, right? Where we don't have long-lasting friendships. We don't have deep friendships. There's an isolation to everything. It's genuinely hard to find people who remain consistently true to what they say they're going to do, to the commitments that they've made. And I think compromise is one of the chief enemies. Compromise is one of the chief enemies of faithfulness. I think we've all experienced this probably in our own lives. Think about your own lives. Has there been a time where you said, hey, I'm going to read my Bible. This is a good one. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to spend some time with God every day. Starts off well, but something comes up in your schedule and you miss a day. And then you miss another day, and then you miss another day, and then you find that you're not reading your Bible every day. Maybe you've decided to take a crack at accountability, and you find somebody, and you're like, hey, let's get together every week, talk about our lives together, talk about the Lord together, and then they're gone 1 week, and so you miss, and then you're gone another week on vacation, and then it just dissipates, and you stop meeting together. Maybe you make a promise in your heart, hey, when I'm watching media, I am not going to watch any sexually explicit material. I'm not going to do it. I'm making a covenant with my eyes. And then you're watching a show, and it's a good show, and you're like hooked in to the plot line, but then like really sexual character is introduced into the show. And the plot's so good, you keep watching. Compromise. Faithfulness, it does not come natural to us. We gravitate towards compromise. I've mentioned this before. When I was first out of law school, I was a prosecutor. It's one of my first jobs. And one of the groups of, you know, crimes that I dealt with was abuse and neglect of young children. Dealt with a lot of kids that had either been abused or just left by their parents. And one of the common threads in the kids that were coming through the programs, right, that had been hurt and just been taken away from their parents, they had a really difficult time with relational faithfulness. It was a really big challenge for them, right? They were very flaky, right? They'd have these things that they would need to do. They would need to come to court, or they'd need to meet with their parole officer, and it was like they could not show up, right? They'd say, I want to be there. Something would happen, and they would miss it. There were also, it was very difficult for them to have relationships that lasted through time, right? You'd see that they'd have a group of friends, right? But then they would almost like intentionally abort those relationships and go on to another relationship. Very difficult to be relationally faithful. I think this makes sense because they didn't get to experience relational faithfulness from their caregivers in a really important developmental stage of their life. They didn't have somebody who loved them irregardless. They never had that. I think in this same way for us, it's true of everyone who is disconnected from a faithful relationship with their Heavenly Father. We're relationally handicapped. There's an inability in us to live in relational faithfulness with other people. And Hebrews is a great book on faithfulness. It's a great book on faith. It tells us this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. You know, a lot of Hebrews was written to the early church. It was really experiencing some persecution, and their faithfulness to the faith was really being challenged. I think this is an encouragement that we can hold fast, right? We can not waver. We can be faithful because we know that God is faithful. This is the key. And this is what we've said a lot about a lot of these fruits of the Spirit. The way that compromising, flaky, people that can't be depended upon, the way that person becomes a faithful person is by experiencing the faithfulness of God through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you enter into this relationship with God where he's your father and you're his son or you're his daughter, and everything changes, right? When you go to spend time with God, you're going to find something very interesting. He is always there. He's always there to meet with you. When you need encouragement, God will come and encourage you. And then when you start reading the Word of God, you read things that He says about the world and Himself, and you find the things that He says in His Word, they're always true. They're always true. And then maybe in your, you know, in your relationship with God, you fail Him. Or maybe you disobey Him. Or you fail to love others. You fail to love God the way that you know that you should. And so you confess your sins to God. And guess what you find? Always. Every time. He forgives you. God forgives you. And then maybe you run into a situation in your life where you really need something. Maybe you need a job so that you can pay for the, you need a new job with more money so you can pay for the third kid that's on the way. You don't have the resource yourself, and you pray and you ask God, and He provides a way. He provides a job for you. And then you come to learn that God always provides. He always provides for His people. So you may not really see it happening in your life as you begin to experience this unfolding of a relationship with God where He starts doing all these things in your life. But what starts to happen is something changes on your inside. Your life begins to settle out. You begin to have this confidence that God is always going to be there for me. And you start to build your life not in your own ability or your own strength, but you start to build your life on the faithfulness of God. You start to build your life on the rock that is Jesus Christ, and you have a foundation that is sure. Your house, your life is built on a sure foundation. And so something begins to happen to you. You change. You fundamentally change as a person in the way that you relate to other people. See, that character of solidness, of reliability and faithfulness begins to take shape in your own heart, in the way that you act towards other people. Instead of being the friend that's always flaking out and not showing up, you're the one that's there when somebody needs you. You even find yourself like staying committed to friends who aren't really fun to be friends with. People that are really difficult to be around, you stick with them. Where before, you'd be like, eh. And then at some point, I don't know how it happens, but you find yourselves 2 years into an accountability relationship with somebody else in the church that you really love, that you really know, that you've prayed for, that they've prayed for you. They've seen you overcome obstacles. You've seen them overcome obstacles. And then at your job, right, you were the undependable person. But then you find yourself as the guy or the girl that the boss is giving really difficult jobs to because he knows you're going to show up to work and you're going to do your best every day. You go from being a spouse that's constantly having emotional fantasies or constantly checking out the hottest girl to someone who is completely faithful, completely committed, completely connected to your spouse and your spouse alone. You start being the kind of person that shows up at church. I don't just mean like this meeting here, but you show up, you're there. You're part of the team. You fellowship with people. You love them. You're connected with them. And then you start taking on responsibilities. Service responsibilities and ministry responsibilities in the church. And then you look back and you realize, I've become a different kind of person. And there's all of these people around you that rely on you. It's cool. And when you look up the qualifications for deacons in the Church of God, you know what one of the qualifications are to be a deacon? You are faithful in all things. This is where God wants to take us as we connect to his Holy Spirit. So it's also important to note this, right? Faithfulness is not something that happens overnight. It's not something like there's a light switch and you turn it on and you go from not being a faithful person to being someone other people can trust. Jesus actually gave a parable about a faithful servant. You can find it in Matthew. And it's a story of a master who has these servants and he leaves them each different amounts of money. And like a couple of them go and they invest the money and they make a lot of money. And so when the master comes back, he's excited about that. But there's another guy that just takes the money and he like buries it in a hole and does nothing with it. And when the master comes back, he says this to the servant. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." So something about this process of becoming a faithful person, the Holy Spirit grows us in faithfulness over time. He gives us opportunities to be faithful, and when we follow through and are faithful in those opportunities that are small, he gives us a bigger one, and then a bigger one, and then a bigger one. And so our lives end up being this constant growth, this journey of growth and becoming a faithful person. A person who is characterized by hesed love, covenant love, that loves the people around them. You love the people around you with an uncompromising, unrelenting love because of the Holy Spirit that's inside of you. Amen? Is that good? Is that the kind of people that we want to be in the Holy Spirit? I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. I think a good way to end the teaching tonight would be to, I just want to hear maybe if you have a testimony of faithfulness. And it can be, I'd love to hear something about God, a way that God has been faithful to you, but I'd also like to hear if you had a testimony about the way that somebody in this church or the way that somebody in your life displayed relational faithfulness to you. So before we worship, anybody have a testimony of somebody who has been an amazing example to you of relational faithfulness? All right. Well, I don't want this to be like intimidating. I think it kind of feels intimidating sometimes when you think of like faithfulness, becoming a faithful person, but the Holy Spirit wants to stir this up in us, transforming us into people that can love one another in a consistent, faithful way. And so as we come to communion tonight, I just want to read this. Actually, I'm going to read the, I don't know if I have the full verse that I want to read in the notes. I'm going to read the Hebrews 12 verse as we come. John's going to lead us in a song of worship, and I'm just going to ask you to come to the table and partake. But I just want to do that invitation with this verse out of Hebrews. So it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." And here, "looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. Let's stand in worship, and let's come and partake of the Lord's table together. Jesus, we love you. We honor you in this time. We ask that you would come, Holy Spirit, and just lead us as your people. We pray that you would begin to just bloom the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. that as we look upon Jesus, who's the perfecter of faith, the one who was completely faithful to the Father, that went to the cross, that made a way back for us so that we could come home, that we could be sons and daughters to our Heavenly Father. Jesus, we honor you in this time. We remember you and your faithfulness to us, God. In Jesus' name, amen.